following audio is from the Lifeway Church. For more information about the Lifeway, please visit our website at www.thelifeway.org.
Well, good morning, everybody. How's everybody this morning? Give yourselves a good hand. It's great to see each and every one of you here today. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Andrew McLean. I'm the lead pastor here at The Lifeway. We are so happy that you're here. I'd like to welcome all of those who are listening to our message online today. Why don't we give them a hand? Today we're wrapping up our four-part Maxed Out sermon series. And so if you've missed any of the previous weeks, I encourage you to catch up, listen to these. They're available for free on our church website, which is thelifeway.org. We have an iTunes podcast. You can find us as well, or a free church app. It's delivered right to your phone. You can listen there. Because the first 3 weeks, the reason this is important is the first 3 weeks really have been a setup for this final message. You see, there are so many people, including those who are followers of Jesus Christ, who are living unfulfilled lives. They work harder and harder. They accumulate more and more, but still deep down inside, they are not truly satisfied. There's something that is missing. It's sort of like the hamster on the wheel. You know how it goes in the cage. You know, they get on the wheel and they run and they run and they run and they run, but no matter how hard and how long we run, we never get closer to the destination. I've had seasons in my life where I've wondered, God, isn't there more than this? How many of you ever wondered that? God, isn't there more to life than this? And so I believe that the secret to a life of fulfillment is primarily found by what we're going to speak about today, and it's found by living a life of generosity. Everybody say generosity. Generosity. You see, God doesn't want us to occasionally be generous. He wants us to live our lives with a consistent spirit of generosity. He really wants us to be generous in three areas. He wants us to be generous with our time, with our talent, and with our treasure. And I just want you to know this morning that I believe that your life will never fully make sense until you discover how to utilize each of those three areas for kingdom purposes. How many of you here have ever seen the TV show Hoarders? Let me see your hands. Have you ever seen an episode? Okay, most all of us in this room. You know, it's gross, right? You know, it's so gross you don't really want to watch, but you can't really look away. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? You know, and as I observe their stories, and I wonder, how in the world did their life get like this? How in the world could things get that bad? But for each of these people mired in the filth and surrounded by all the garbage, there was an initial decision. It was a simple moment. It was a seemingly insignificant choice when they first decided, I need to keep that. I can't let that go. And what happens is over a period of time, a spirit of fear, a spirit of scarcity, a spirit of lack, a spirit of hoarding actually came upon them and actually really began to overtake every area of their lives. And that one small decision, that one inconsequential piece of garbage that they couldn't let go of was the impetus for a life of destruction and despair. And it's so easy to look at a hoarder and point out the folly of their terrible choices. But I believe that while manifested very differently, there is a correlation to our own lives. That same spirit of lack, that spirit of hoarding, that spirit of scarcity can be on us. We can be carrying it and we don't even recognize it. When it comes to our financial picture and our generosity, it can be so difficult to see the mistakes that we're making. And so this morning, I believe that God wants to break the spirit of lack off of us, and he wants to instead replace it with a spirit of generosity. All right, you guys ready this morning? It's not nearly as painful as it sounds, all right? Go ahead, if you've got your Bibles or your digital device, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, almost the entire message, and we're going to look at that, so you can go ahead and open your Bible or digital device there. We're going to look at a portion of this second letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the local church located in the city of Corinth. Now, I want you to know just a little background. Paul was not a stranger to this church. He had credibility with them. In fact, 1 Corinthians was his first letter to them. He had ministered at their church on multiple occasions. And so in chapter 9, Paul begins to talk to them about an opportunity that had been presented to them at an earlier date. Prior to this letter, what had happened was a serious need had arisen in the church in Jerusalem. And so what Paul did is he went around to the surrounding churches, including this church in Corinth, and let them know about this need, telling them, hey guys, listen up, there's a kingdom opportunity, and if we'll rally our resources together, we can make a big impact. And so in this passage, what I'm going to do is I want to share 6 points that'll help us discover what this spirit of generosity is all about. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1, it starts, Paul says this, there is no need for me to write to you about this service to the Lord's people. Verse 2, for I know your eagerness, everybody say eagerness, to help, and I have been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year, you and Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm, everybody say enthusiasm, has stirred most of them to action. Go ahead and pull out in your service guides, your sermon outline. Encourage you to follow along and fill in the blanks with us. Here's the first thing I want you to see. Number one, the church, this church had a generous spirit on them. They had a generous spirit. Paul said, I know that you are eager. I know how eager you are to help. I know how ready you are to give. And not only were they ready to give, but their enthusiasm actually had a ripple effect and inspired others to get involved. This church in Corinth had such a great spirit of generosity on them that what happened was is it literally began to change and affect the world around them. And I want to let you know this morning that when Shyla and I were in the early planning stages for the Lifeway Church back in 2013 and 14, one of the things that was so important to us was growing and developing in our church a spirit of generosity. You may say, well, why is that something that's so important? Because the gospel is the greatest demonstration of generosity that the world has ever seen. Let me prove it to you. The most famous passage of scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. And so that's why each Sunday when you come into the Lifeway, we give away coffee and donuts. It's why we send our first and second time guest gift cards. It's why we give the custodians here at the school every single week, we give them a gift card. In fact, as a church, we have committed to give away a minimum of 10% of every dollar that comes into this church to help others at local and national and international levels. Why? Because it's our dream to be a tangible expression of Christ's generosity. That through our giving, many people would come to know Jesus, not just here in this building, but literally around the world. And I want you to know that since the very beginning, this church has given, even in the months when there wasn't enough coming in to cover our own expenses, we still gave. And I want you to know that the fruit of being faithful is that the Lifeway, I believe that this house right now today has been blessed with a spirit of generosity. You can feel it when you come in. People are quick to share. People are quick to help. People are quick to lend a hand. And so this is something that is so important to our church. But I also want you to know that as important as it is for this house to have a spirit of generosity on it, God wants each of us as individuals, each of us as families, personally to have this same spirit of generosity. And like I said a few minutes ago, there are many Christians who do not carry this spirit. No matter what the new job pays or how much the raise is or how much the bonus is, it's never enough. And so they walk around carrying a spirit of lack, carrying a spirit of fear that really stems from a lack of trust in God and a desire to be in control. They're afraid. Essentially, fear comes when we place our trust in the wrong things. 1 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind." And honestly, I believe that there are those of us in this room who've never had a sound mind when it comes to handling finances, when it comes to handling our generosity. They tightly hold on to everything that comes their way so that they can be in control. And I want you to know, if that's where you find yourself this morning, God wants to set you free from that lack of trust, from that spirit of scarcity, that spirit of control. And I want you to know it's so important that we get this, because for many, this mindset has literally been passed on from generation to generation to generation. You know, your grandparents lacked, your parents lacked, and you lack. And if we don't get control of this, what we're going to do is we're going to pass this on to our own children. I've actually seen the fruit of this play out even in our own church. We have a family that attends the Lifeway, calls the Lifeway their home, that includes several generations. And I've watched the oldest generation of this family, and they are some of the most generous people in the world. In fact, some of you sitting in this room have been blessed by their generosity. They give to people in need without any fanfare. They find out that there's a need, and they just take care of it. Not surprisingly, this has been passed on. Their children are super generous people. They go out of their way to do nice things for others. And when you look at their lives, you see the blessing of God all over it. I believe that comes because they carry the spirit of generosity. Now, this morning, I want you to know that living this life of generosity, it's not easy. And the reason it's not easy is because we live in a world where the spirit is countercultural to generosity. We live in a materialistic world, and we are going to have to seek after, we're going to have to strive for generosity. Going on in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 3, it says this, "But I am sending the brothers in order that are boasting about you in this manner should not prove hollow, but that you may be ready as I said you would be." So Paul is saying here, wait a second, I'm going to send you some of my buddies. We're going to help you get strategic and organized in this kingdom opportunity. Verse 4, "For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident." And so while Paul had confidence in them, he wanted to make sure that there was a strategy in place in order to capitalize on this kingdom opportunity. Verse 5, "So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift." I want you to notice this, "not as one grudgingly given." The next blank in your outline, number 2, is this: generosity is to be planned and strategic. It's to be planned and strategic, not emotion-based or fear-driven. In our lives, God wants our generosity to be something we think about, that we plan, that we're strategic about. And I want you to know that when the church moves solely into emotion-based giving, I believe that it's a disservice to the gospel. I believe that generosity is a predetermined way of life. It's not an emotional act. I want you to know there's nothing wrong with occasionally being motivated by our emotions to give, but God's primary plan for us was that our generosity would be predetermined, that we would think it out in advance, where we organize things strategically so that we can get the greatest possible return on our investments. Now, there are some of us that are sitting here this morning, and we were raised in a church where when it came to money and, quite frankly, many other things, it was always presented in a high pressure, in a very manipulative sort of way. In fact, you may have grown up in a church where you were guilted into giving. And if that's what you experienced in the past, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry if somebody who was supposed to represent the gospel in the right way used any guilt-driven approaches to get you to give. I want you to know that way to teach on this is, it really, I believe it's not even biblical. It's not the way that God is. It's not the way who the Lifeway Church is trying to be. We simply believe as a church that generosity is the preferred way to live our lives. And so that's why every single week, almost every single week, you'll hear someone walk up to the stage and communicate that generosity is one of our core values, because we believe that being a true disciple of Jesus Christ is impossible without living generously. We believe that when generous people are made aware of kingdom opportunities, they simply respond to the need. And so if you've attended here for any length of time, you know that I don't stand up here. I don't browbeat anyone. Listen, I've told you in Growth Track, those of you that have gone through Growth Track, that's not my job. My job as a pastor is to simply present the things that are found in this book, to share vision and occasionally give you kingdom opportunities that you can be a part of. And then what happens is then God will begin to communicate with you and direct you on how you should respond. Our generosity should be planned and strategic. Going on, verse 6 says this: remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Number 3 in your outline, there is a direct correlation between our sowing and our reaping. There's a correlation between our sowing and our reaping. And what Paul is essentially saying here is that living generously affects the harvest that we are capable of having in our lives. And there are some people, you know, they'll hear teaching like this and they'll say, well, wait, we're not supposed to give to get. And while that's absolutely true, listen, a farmer would not be a good farmer if he went to the store and if he bought the seed, if he plowed the field and sowed the seeds in the soil and made sure it was watered. He would not be a good farmer if he got up and said, you know what, I don't really care if anything here ever grows. No, there's a responsibility to the seed we have been entrusted. Each and every one of us, as we give and as we're generous, we should be watching for the harvest that God brings to the seed that we have planted in his kingdom. Sowing and reaping is not only a natural law, but it is a spiritual law. I want you to hear this morning. Your future harvest is determined by the seed that you have in the ground right now. And for some of us, honestly, that's a pretty scary thought. If we're not sowing seeds of generosity in the present, then we can never expect a harvest in the future. In fact, in Galatians, the apostle writes, Galatians 6:7 says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. And so this morning, in the area of generosity, I ask you this question: what have you been planting? Verse 7 says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. There we see it again, the planned and the strategic portion. Not reluctantly or under compulsion. There's the guilt, the pressure, the manipulation thing. And then watch this: for God loves a cheerful giver. Everybody say cheerful giver. God loves it when his children give generously. Giving should spring out from a heart of gratitude. Verse 8, here's the result. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, say all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now listen to this, write this down. This is the next blank in your outline. This is so important. Number 4, the end goal of generosity is not financial blessing, but it's a life of good works. It's a life of good works. The goal is not getting more. It's to take the more and do good things with it. I've got Costanzo. He's going to come up here and he's going to help me out. Let's give him a hand as we come. One day I'm going to be as cool as him, but I got to keep working at it. All right. So here we go. Let's pretend right now that this bottom container here, all right, we just read in this scripture about this, that this bottom container represents every good work. It represents kingdom opportunities, all right? So this is kingdom opportunities here, all right? And this right here is going to represent our needs. Okay, will you hold this for me? All right, so he's going to hold this for me here. I'm going to put this back a little bit so you don't have to reach. And what so many of us do is that when God begins to bless us, God begins to pour into our lives, right? Try not to spill, and man, it comes up, and he's just blessing us, and he's filling us up. And then all of a sudden, we have a problem here because this vessel can't hold anymore. And what so many of us do is we just get a bigger jar, and we just take it and say, well, thank you, God. Thank you. You're so good. Let me just put that here. All right? And then, you know, we go, oh, God, I love you. You're just blessing me. You're blessing me. And so then God, just because he's good to us, he just continues pouring out. And we begin to fill this up and fill this up. And all of a sudden, that gets to the point that it's ready to be full. And so what do? We just make our need jar a little bit bigger. So we take this and we just dump this in and say, God, just keep blessing me. You see, this is how so many of us in our culture, we live our life. God is blessing us with more and more and more. And we're just taking it. We're just filling it up and filling it up and filling it up. All right, and so this is so important that we go through this, and this is the way that we're living our life. And what happens is our need bucket, our need jar, it grows so large that very little, if anything, ever makes it into the every good work bin. It never makes it this far. And here's why that matters, that we learn to not live our lives maxed out, that we learn how to live beneath our means, is because when we can get control of this need jar, when we can live our life the way that God has called us to be, there's nothing to worry about because God has promised, we just read it, to bless us abundantly in all things, at all times, having all you need. How many of you want all things? Right? How many of you want all things at all times? How many of you want your life to be abundantly blessed with all that you ever need? Come on, let me see your hands here, right? It's something that we all want. And what happens is, right, we got to learn to live our life this way. Instead, we want to come like this. And this way, when God begins to bless us, what should happen is this blessing should pour over into every good work. That's how we should be living our lives, not just taking it for ourselves. Does everybody see what I'm talking about here today? We should be, thank you, Cosenzio. We should be living a life of overflow. And that's what happens when we begin to just live our life the way that God wants us to live, that we become a conduit so he can bless us. And when we live generously, God will do that through us. And so we've got to deal with this today. You and your spouse. That's key. You and your spouse, if you're married, and God need to figure out how big your need bucket should be. Listen, I can't tell you that, and neither can anyone else. That's something that is between you and God. There are some people who say, well, Andrew, you know, I can't really give. I can't really be generous because, you know, if I had a big house like, you know, so-and-so, or if I made the kind of money that so-and-so made. Listen, if your household income today is $34,000 a year or more, I think that probably includes almost every single one of us in this room. If your household income is $34,000 a year or more, I want you to know that you are in the top 1% of the wealthiest people in the entire world. And unfortunately, what happens in our culture and in America is we don't ever compare ourselves down. We only compare ourselves up. If you've ever traveled overseas, or maybe you've had an opportunity to see pictures and I want you to consider the financial disparity that we see in the world. Consider the billions of people who live without running water in nothing more than a hut. Have you ever wondered, God, why am I so blessed? Most of us wonder, God, why won't you bless me more? Why don't you look at it the other way? God, why am I so blessed? And I believe the reason that he's blessed us and he's blessed our nation, he's blessed our country, is because God is testing our hearts and he's asking, are you going to just keep expanding your needs, or are you going to, you know, where you take everything I give you and you keep it all for yourself? Are you going to get a bigger perspective and use the blessings that I have given you to change the world? I want to remind you this morning that whatever we have, we don't own it. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, everything in it. It comes from God. We are simply his stewards. I want you to hear this morning. I know we talked about tithing last week, but studies have revealed that fewer than 25% of Christians bring their tithe to the storehouse. And they did some research, and what they determined is that if 100% of the body of Christ did nothing more than just tithe, in other words, don't even take into consideration this whole spirit of generosity when people just let the overflow come out of them. Like we read about in the early church in Acts 2, it says people sold their stuff so they could meet other people's needs. But this research showed if people just tithe, there would be an additional $165 billion with a B for churches to use and distribute. I mean, that's staggering. Think about the things that could be accomplished. It's estimated that $30 billion could relieve global hunger and deaths from preventable diseases in 5 years. $12 billion could eliminate illiteracy in 5 years. $15 billion could solve the world's water and sanitation issues in the places where 1 billion people live on less than $1 a day. $1 billion could fully fund all overseas missions work. I want to repeat what I've said the last few weeks. Our pace as a church will be determined by the pace of our generosity. I want you to know this is God's plan. Verse 9 says, as it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Verse 10, now he who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply the increase, will also supply and increase your store of seed. This is big. Write it down. Number 5, the bonus benefit to generosity is more seed. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, more seed. More seed. God says, if you'll be faithful, if you won't consume everything that I bless you with, if you let some of it flow out of you, guess what? I'll be happy to supply bread for food. In other words, what does he mean by that? It means I'll supply everything that you need. But then what he'll also do is I'll provide you with even more seed. When you're faithful and you show God that he can trust you with the little, what'll happen is he'll entrust you with even more. You may say, well, how do you know that? Well, every leader here, if you work and you oversee people, maybe you run a business, maybe you're a manager at a company, but if you oversee people, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you have two employees that report to you and one of them is doing an incredible job and every assignment that you give, they're on it. They exceed expectations in every single way. But then you've got this second employee who does as little as possible. How many of you work with someone that does as little as possible? Come on, I'll give you a chance to get it out. I know some of you are mad right now, right? They do as little as possible. They show up late. They leave early. They have the attitude, ah, that's not my job. So how many of you work with someone, oh, that's not my job person, right? I think we've all worked with somebody like that, right? And so guess what happens when the next big opportunity comes? If you're the boss, who are you going to give it to? Well, duh, you're going to give it to the one who's doing a great job. Why? Because you're a wise steward of resources. You want your company to grow. You want your company to advance and be more successful. And as true as it is in business, I want you to know it's true in God's economy as well. God is looking at some of his children who are doing little to nothing. You know, they're satisfied with being in the God fan club. You know, I'll just show up whenever it's convenient. I'll just do what the littlest I have to do. And I believe that God is sitting up there saying, okay, fine, you can do it your way. But don't be upset when I keep giving more seed, when I keep blessing those who are exceeding expectations, who are letting what I give flow out of them to impact other people. Continuing on in verse 10, it says, now he who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed, here's the last phrase, and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Number 6, write this down. At the end of the day, the ultimate harvest is righteousness in our lives. It's not really about the dollars and cents. It's about who or what is Lord in your life. And that's why when Jesus walked the earth, he spent so much time talking about finances and things and possessions. That's why Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's where we're going to find your heart. And so this morning I asked, do you trust God enough to be generous? The ultimate harvest is righteousness in our lives. It's looking more like Jesus. It's taking on his image and his characteristics. That's the point. This whole spirit of generosity, the whole reason the Apostle Paul taught this, the whole reason that this matters is so that over a period of time, you will begin to look more like Jesus. As I close this out this morning, I have a three-part challenge for you. The first is a corporate one. In your service guides, you're going to find a blue legacy envelope that looks just like this. I want you to take this home. I want you to pray about it. I want you to talk to your spouse. And I want you to let the Holy Spirit lead you how to give. What is the legacy offering? For those of you that weren't here, it's really meant to be a gift around the holiday season where we're buying gifts for everyone and anyone. That it's a gift that we bring to God, given above and beyond what you normally would give. Last week, we talked about tithing, which is simply returning the first 10% of your income back to God and the local church where you're spiritually fed. But listen, tithing is actually just the beginning point. God has called us to live lives of generosity. And I can tell you, and there are people that are elders in the faith that have walked this way a long time, and they will also stand up here and tell you, you can never outgive God. Never. So for some of you who maybe have never even a single time tithed before, my challenge for you is to bring your tithe next week, the first time you've ever done it, and let that be your legacy offering. Let that be your first step. For the rest of us that are here who are already tithers, I want you to prayerfully ask God to direct you on what you should bring for this legacy offering. You see, the legacy offering allows us to be positioned to meet all kinds of different needs. In fact, I want you to check out this video here.
What's up, Lifeway Church? This is Matt Keller, founding and lead pastor of Next Level Church in Fort Myers, Florida. And I just want to say, we love your pastors, Pastor Andrew and Shiloh. You guys are incredible. I love that they've been in our coaching the last couple years. And you guys, what an awesome thing God's doing in Milwaukee. And I just want to say thank you, because as you guys probably remember and know, we went through Hurricane Irma last September, and your church stepped up, and you guys gave generously. And I want you to know that finance, those resources, man, we put those things to use, and we were able to deliver tens of thousands of meals. We were able to help people whose electricity wasn't coming on, kids who didn't have anything to eat because they weren't in school. We made such a huge impact. And so, Lifeway, you're a part of that. And I want you to know that what you're part of, and when you give generously, what that goes to goes far beyond Milwaukee. And so, you guys, we love you. We're so thankful for you. We're praying for you and your pastors this Christmas season. God bless you guys.
All right, so I want you to know, yeah, that's awesome. That offering to Next Level Church, as well as two other churches who provided hurricane relief in Texas, really was made possible because of last year's legacy offering. And so next week, we're all going to bring our completed envelopes back, and together as a church, we're going to just present with a spirit of generosity a legacy offering to God. My second challenge this morning is really on a more personal level. As I opened up the message, I talked about how so many of us as Christians, we live unfulfilled lives. And even though you've encountered Jesus, there's something that's missing. Like I mentioned earlier, I believe with all my heart that that missing piece, that missing component is this generosity portion. God has given each of us in this room, like I said, he's given us three things. He's given us time, he's given us talent, and he's given us treasure. And the reason that I believe we battle unfulfillment is because we're spending those three areas exclusively on ourselves. And so this morning, I want you to know that God designed us. He placed us on earth to spend our allotment of these three things to make a difference. And that's what's so incredible about God's plan for his church. He left it in our hands. I wonder if you've ever considered that. God left his church, the hope of the world, not in Pastor Andrew's hands, but in your hands, in Phil's hands, in Kelly's hands, in Lisa's hands, in Deb's hands, in Scott's hands. He designed us to be a part of something bigger than we could ever become on our own, where we would join together generously sharing our time and our talent and treasure in order to change the world. And if you consider the Lifeway your church home, and you're not giving of your time or your talent, I encourage you to find a place to serve. Get on the dream team. Give of your time. Give of your talents. Become a part of something that's so much bigger than yourself. Because what happens is when you begin to serve in environments where people come and experience Jesus, you will find a fulfillment in your life that you never dreamed possible. So you might be saying, well, man, that sounds good. How do I join the team? Well, I'm glad you asked. The first step is to go through our growth track. You hear us announce it every single week. It's four classes that happen right after we close each Sunday. Today's a great week to begin because today we're starting with step one. So I want to encourage you to do that. Now, when it comes to being generous with finances and giving, I know that can be a challenge and that can be a stretch for some of us. And I so desperately, as I was praying over this message and I was working this week, I so desperately wanted each of you to experience the joy that comes with being generous that I decided to do something that would make it as easy as possible for you. So this morning, after we close, as you leave the auditorium, our greeters are going to give you this little card. On one side is a $5 Starbucks gift card, and then one of our little just loving on people card attached to it. And I want every person in this room that has a driver's license or the ability to get yourself around town to take one. Now, this isn't for you to get your caffeine fix, all right? But what I want you to do this week is I want you to stop in. Don't do it through the drive-thru. That's so impersonal. But I want you to take 3 minutes out of your day, walk into a Starbucks. I think everybody has a Starbucks within 2 miles of their house. And just walk up to someone in line and just say, you know what, I just want you to know that I'm so thankful for you and the light that you bring to the world. I'd like to buy your drink. And just give them this. All right, and then hand them this card. And when you leave this store, I promise you that you're going to feel so good inside. In fact, we prayed over these cards. And I'm believing that God will use this experience to birth a spirit of generosity in us like we've never experienced before. And I encourage you, on the back of your Connect card, you already heard Tom talk about this, but there's a place that says answers. I want to hear your stories. You can go to thelifeway.org. There's a Tell Me Something Good icon you can click. Email us. Put it on social media. Share your story about what God does, because I know that there's going to be some people that are going to get this, that this is exactly what they needed to hear. And the back of this card just says something extra to tell you that God loves you. All right, so I've made it as easy as possible as I can make it for you to be generous. So as you walk out the door this morning, make sure you grab one of those. My third challenge is this. It's a very personal one. I want to get really close to home right now. I want you to consider what spirit exists currently on your life when it comes to personal finances. Are you carrying a spirit of scarcity? Are you carrying a spirit of lack, of a spirit of control that's really based and rooted in fear? Or do you carry a spirit of generosity that's based in faith? I want you to know this morning, fear and faith cannot coexist. And when it comes to our things, our possessions, one of those two things rules each and every one of our mindsets. Listen, church, God doesn't want us to live maxed out. He doesn't want us to live stressed out over our finances. The beautiful thing about following God's financial plan is that there's a freedom and a peace that comes when we're obedient. It takes all the pressure off. I remember when we were getting ready to plant the Lifeway Church, one of our coaches, we were having to raise about $100,000, and one of our coaches said something to me, and it made me mad. But he said, if it's his will, it's his bill. And the reason it made me mad is I thought, well, what if I really haven't heard from God and we don't raise the money? And that's what upset me was that I was feeling like I had to control it. But the beautiful thing is when we follow God's plan, it's his bill. He said, if you'll be generous, I will bless you with all that you need. And so this morning, if you have a spirit of scarcity on you, I'm going to pray for you that God will release you from that fear that's been holding you back. Maybe you're sitting here and you go, well, I don't know if I have the spirit of scarcity, but I definitely don't have the spirit of generosity. And I'd like that spirit on my life. I want to pray for you as well. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. This is so important for us as a church. If you find yourself in either of these two camps, wanting the spirit of lack broken, or wanting a spirit of generosity, or both, no one looking around, I just want you to raise your hand because I want to pray for you. Thank you. There are hands going up all over. This is God's desire for our lives, is to be generous. Lord Jesus, today, we thank you, Lord, for the power of your word. And Lord God, I pray that as a church, Lord God, that we would rise above a culture that screams more, more, more. That in order to be happy, that we have to accumulate bigger and better and newer. Lord God, I pray that we would be wise to the enemy's plans and devices, and that we would realize that true joy, true fulfillment comes when we give generously of all that you've given to us. Lord, because this really is a heart issue. It isn't a dollar issue. It's not a sense issue. It's a heart issue. And Lord God, when we live with a heart of gratitude, the outflow of a child of God who realizes how much you've done is generosity. Lord God, I pray that you'd help us remember the cost that you paid at Calvary. When you didn't just give something, you gave it all. So that I could be saved. So that my sins could be washed away. And so, Lord God, I pray that as we end this season of generosity, Lord God, and as we move into this season of Christmas and holidays and families, Lord God, remember that you've called us to be world changers with our talents, our time, and our treasure. Lord God, I pray that you would trust this church, Lord God, to be a vehicle with which ministries around this city, around the state, the nation, and the world would be supported. Lord, we trust you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Let's clap our hands this morning.
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope you've been encouraged by it. If you'd like more information about The Lifeway, please visit thelifeway.org.